Well, this past week, I learned a brand new word. The word is doom scrolling. D-O-O-M-S-C-R-O-L-L-I-N-G, doom scrolling. Definition? Well, it's a verb. And according to Merriam-Webster's online dictionary, it's a relatively new word, and it refers to the phenomenon where some people continue to scroll through, read, or consume bad news, even though that news is saddening, disheartening, or depressing. According to the New York Times, doom scrolling is what happens in between 11 p.m. and 1 a.m., where you can't stop reading articles on your phone about everything going wrong in the world. And so you start off by reading articles about the pandemic, and then you read about race relations, and then you read about wildfires in California. Before you know it, it's been hours on end of you absorbing some of the most heartbreaking stories that are out there. According to one author, this internet nosedive happens when, quote, you fall into deep, morbid rabbit holes filled with coronavirus content, agitating yourself to the point of physical discomfort, erasing any hope of a good night's sleep. That is doom scrolling. Here's a shocker. Turns out, it is not very good for your health. Evidently, it's not a good thing for you to read every news story out there. It's not a good thing for you to have cable news on in the background 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Evidently, what happens is there is a vicious feedback loop that takes place, where people turn to the news in order to relieve their anxiety about what's going on in the world. But then they watch the news and it ends up creating more anxiety in them, which then makes them want to consume even more news. It's like an online car crash where you can't stop looking at the negativity and you don't even know why. And there is a real cost to this behavior. Because you can't consume that much heartbreak without it eating away at your soul. On some level, sooner or later, you just become cynical. Sooner or later, you end up in an emotional wilderness, wondering if there is any good left in this world. Doom scrolling. It's that feeling you get when you just start to lose hope. And I think it's a feeling the people of Israel knew well. I think it's a feeling they experienced often during their time in the wilderness. I think they were a community who knew what it meant to lose hope. You see, for 40 years, God's people wandered aimlessly in the wilderness. For 40 years, the Israelites didn't know where they were going or how they would get there. All they knew was life kept getting harder. In the wilderness, God's people face famine and drought and enemy attacks and sickness and giants and snakes that would sneak up on you in the middle of the night. In the mornings, God's people would have to wake up and carry everything they owned on their back over hot sand. And in the evenings, well, they would have to work until their fingers bled just to have a place to sleep at night. Sooner or later, it just gets to be too much. After all, in my experience, most people can handle one challenge in life at a time. I mean, maybe you can handle two challenges at a time if you're a really grounded person. But I don't know anyone who can handle everything life throws at us all in the same moment. Now, I don't know anyone who can handle quarantine and remote working and homeschooling and riots in the streets and mask in the grocery store and Supreme Court nominations and contested elections all at the same time. Sooner or later, you just start to doom scroll. Sooner or later, You just get overwhelmed. You know, I was talking to a friend of mine recently. He said, David, ever since the pandemic started, I've been having panic attacks in the middle of the night. He said, some nights I'll wake up at 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning and I'll find that my heart is just racing. And I'll try to breathe and calm myself down. I'll try to pray just to relax myself, but it doesn't always work. And the strangest part, he said, is that I don't even know what I'm anxious about anymore. I just know it is all too much. The people of Israel, they were overwhelmed in the wilderness. They were surrounded by bad news everywhere they went. Every day they had to wonder what was going to happen next. And there is a real cost to that kind of negativity. Because sooner or later, we just lose hope. You know, given how much hardship God's people faced in the wilderness, I don't know that any of us would have faulted them if at some point during those 40 years, they just decided to quit. I mean, we can hardly make it through 6 months of a pandemic, but the Israelite people, they made it through 14,610 days of hell on earth. Now, I don't think any of us would have criticized them if at some point during those 40 years they just said, God, it's too much. God, I can't take it anymore. God, I'm throwing in the towel. Except here is a real miracle of the story. I think the true miracle of this story is that God's people didn't quit. They didn't throw in the towel. They kept moving forward. And why? Well, it's because they had a leader who hadn't lost hope. It's because they had someone there to remind them that on the other side of this wilderness, there is a promised land. It's Moses. Moses left the Israelite people a legacy of hope. He was the one who pushed them to keep moving forward, even through their darkest hours. He was the one who refused to allow them to quit, even when the journey got hard. And sure, there were days when Moses got frustrated. Sure, there were days when he was overwhelmed and wanted to turn back. But he never let go of the promises that God had made him. He never lost his hope. I'm reminded of a story the great British rabbi Hugo Grimm tells of growing up during the Second World War. Hugo said he was part of a devout Orthodox Jewish family, so that every Friday evening his father insisted their family celebrate the Sabbath, even though that celebration brought them great danger. One Friday, Hugo said, when he was a boy, his father prepared to celebrate the Sabbath, and in doing so, he took a little bit of string and put it in a pat of butter. He was going to use it as a Shabbat candle that evening in worship. Hugo said that he was furious with his father. After all, the family was barely surviving during the war. They didn't have much, if anything, to eat. Hugo tried to talk his dad out of it. He said to him, Father, that's all the butter we have. But Hugo's father simply turned to him. He said, Son, without food, a person can live for weeks. But no one can live a single minute without hope. Moses left the people a legacy of hope. Not by focusing on the problems of the world, not by doom scrolling every bad thing that happened to them while they were in the wilderness. No, Moses held on to his hope By clinging to the promises of God. Because here's the thing, God has made you promises, and God intends to keep those promises. Those promises, well, those are the things that will help us through whatever emotional wilderness we are traveling in. You see, God promises you that the worst thing that happens in your life, it will never be the last thing. God promises you that weeping may last for the night, but joy, it will come in the morning. God promises that He will give you hope for today and a bright future for tomorrow. God promises that after every Good Friday, there is an Easter Sunday. Those are the promises God makes to you. And clinging to those promises is how we make it through these times in the wilderness. So if you're feeling overwhelmed today, I want you to know that you have come to the right place. Because we are a community of hope. For 25 years, Pinehurst United Methodist Church has been right here in Moore County, reminding people not to give up. Reminding people that God is good even when the world is not. For 25 years, we have been asking people to take steps forward in faith, telling them that on the other side of the wilderness, there is a promised land and we will get there together. That is our legacy as a church. We are here to remind people that there is always, always, always hope in Jesus Christ. After all, without food, people can live for weeks. None of us can live a single minute without hope.